We'll have a Bible reading at this stage of our service. We're going to read together today from John's Gospel, chapter 10. It's a reading a brother gave to me there to read, so I'll do the reading of Scripture and then hand the meeting a little bit later on to our brother to bring the word in season to our souls. So John chapter 10, if you can just find that portion there. We're going to read from verse 1, please, through to verse 14. John chapter 10 and verse 1, commencing the reading at verse 1. Let's hear the word of God. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. And then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling, and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth, because he is an hireling, and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known of mine. Amen. Finishing the reading there at verse 14. As always, God is pleased to bless the precious reading of his own holy and inspired word. Amen.
The history of Israel has a rural setting. Flocks and herds, we constantly read of them. Notable characters in the Old Testament scriptures, many of them were shepherds. We have only to think of Abel. He brought to God the choice lamb from among his flock. Moses, for 40 years, he minded his father-in-law's sheep in the backside of the desert. And there's Jacob, and of course, David. The Lord so frequently referred to sheep. We have the parable of the lost sheep in Matthew chapter 18, verses 12 to 14. In Matthew chapter 9, and verse 36, the Lord likens the people to sheep having no shepherd. After the Last Supper, the Lord with his disciples, when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. And there the Lord quoted from Zechariah chapter 13 and verse 7, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered. John chapter 10 is one of the most familiar portions of the New Testament. Here we have this tremendous I am saying of Christ. Here's the gospel, the Son of God laying down his life for us, the lost sheep. Oh, what a marvel it is that the giver of all life, that he should give his own life to save us from our sins. that we might live forevermore. How is it with you? Are you in the sheepfold of the gospel, a sinner saved by the grace of God? Or are you on the mountains, wild and bare, far from the tender shepherd's care? As we see the good shepherd on the cross, bearing away our sin, may you be drawn to him. May you become one of his sheep. Notice with me three principal things here. First of all, the standing of the shepherd. There is a contrast drawn between three types of shepherd in this 10th chapter. There are false shepherds. The Lord refers to them in verse 1. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. The scribes and Pharisees were those whom the Lord had in mind. You will see in verse 41 of chapter 9, where it is written of the Pharisees, they said, we see. They were saying, we are not as the man born blind from birth. What a religious outlook and standing we have. They love to be called rabbi. In the marketplace, to be recognized as teachers, the uppermost rooms, positions at the feasts, they occupied them. The chief seats in the synagogue were exclusive to them. They loved to say long prayers on the street corners. Oh, they were most religious. But it was all an outward show, a front, a pretense. They were false shepherds. This world this evening is full of religion. Even the atheists have their Sunday church. These false shepherds were as religious as could be, but condemned. The Lord's woe rested on them. Oh, it's not religion that fits our souls for heaven. It's regeneration, a new creation. In Galatians chapter 6 and the verse 15, this truth is made clear. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. Paul is emphasizing the importance, the necessity for every one of us to experience the new birth, to become new creatures in Christ Jesus. There are false shepherds here. There are also fickle shepherds. In verse 12, they are mentioned. He that is an hireling, and not the shepherd whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth. The hireling, he feeds the flock for money, and not for love. The hireling, his main concern is not the well-being of the sheep, but his wages. He will make no sacrifice. He will put himself in no danger. As the wolf approaches, he will not stand David-like and fight it off. He will run and leave the flock to be scattered and devoured. The false and the fickle shepherds were engrossed in their own recognition and remuneration. How refreshing then it is to come to the faithful shepherd of verse 11. I am the good shepherd. There is emphasis in the original. Literally, it reads, I am the shepherd, the good, or the excellent, the fair, or the worthy shepherd. The first occurrence of this word good in John's Gospel is found in chapter 2 in regard to the changing of the water into wine. John chapter 2 and the verse 10. Every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine. Here the word signifies choice, excellent, preeminently excellent. The good wine is contrasted with the inferior. And we see how the Lord uses the title for deity, for divinity, when he uses the title I am. Moses, God spoke to him way back in Exodus chapter 3 and revealed himself as the I Am. Exodus chapter 3 and verse 14. Verse 13, first of all, Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel and shall say unto them, The God of your fathers hath sent me unto you. And they shall say to me, What is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. So we can see clearly that the title I Am is the very signature of Jehovah. And when the Lord used it in the presence of the scribes and the Pharisees, they recognized the divine significance of it and were ready to stone him for speaking blasphemy. O he who thought it not robbery to be equal with God, thought it not forgery to use his signature. In Israel, the land of pastures and shepherds, there were none to compare with the good shepherd. Other shepherds were appointed that have in a measure been good, but the Lord is the choice. He is the more excellent one. He is the Father's well-beloved Son. He is the one who is mighty, the mighty God. He alone has been found worthy to stand surety for his people. The Lord of heaven and earth, he gives to all life and breath. And all things. What a standing the Good Shepherd has. And in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 17, we read this, Wherefore in all things it behoved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. He is a faithful and merciful high priest. The question is in Matthew 22 and verse 42. The question is, what think ye of Christ? What standing does the Lord have in your eyes this evening? Is he your all in all? Is he to you the chiefest among 10,000? Or is it the case that he is the stone which you have rejected? There is no place in your heart or in your life for him. What a tragedy. The standing of the shepherd. But we think of the sacrifice of the shepherd. For our text says, the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. In the Old Testament, the sheep died for the shepherd to provide food and clothing for him. But here we read of the good shepherd dying for the sheep. Five times this chapter emphasizes the Lord gave his life for the sheep. How did the Lord give his life? He gave it voluntarily. The thousands of lambs used in those Old Testament sacrifices, there was nothing voluntary in their deaths. But notice the voluntary nature of the Lord's death. Verse 15, as the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Verse 17, therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. And in verse 18, no man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. J.C. Ryle, the first Protestant bishop of Liverpool, commenting, he said, we must never suppose for a moment that our Lord had no power to prevent his sufferings and that he was delivered up to his enemies, crucified because he could not help it. The treachery of Judas, the band of soldiers, the hatred of scribes and Pharisees, the injustice of Pilate, those coarse hands of the Roman soldiers, the scourge, the nails, the spear, they could not have harmed a hair of his head unless he had allowed them. End of quote. Oh, the Lord could say to Peter in Matthew chapter 26, Peter had just taken up the sword and cut off the servant of the high priest's ear, thinking to stand in the way of Christ and the cross. And the Lord could say in verse 53 of Matthew 26, thinkest thou, Peter, that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? He could have called 10,000 angels to destroy the world and set himself free. But the Lord, in love to us, submitted to death of his own free will, because this was the divine way that the adorable Trinity had devised to make atonement for our sins. He gave himself voluntarily. He gave his life vicariously. The word for indicates on our behalf. The Lord died on the cross, not as a martyr for the truth, not as a moral example of self-sacrifice. He died in our place. In Hebrews chapter 9 and the verse 28, Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. He was the true offering, the more excellent sacrifice for sin. The holiness and the justice of God were satisfied by the sufferings that the Lord endured as he stood condemned in our place. And we can say, because the sinless Savior died, my sinful soul is counted free, for God the just is satisfied to pardon me on account of Christ. And he gave his life victoriously. He triumphed over sin, death, and hell. The Lord came forth triumphantly, and he lives. He's the living Savior. He did not remain on the cross or remain in the tomb. He lives to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him. The writer Lew Wallace, he was asked by the agnostic Robert Ingersoll to make a book denying the Lord was the Son of God. Lew Wallace traveled to Israel, did much research. He interviewed hundreds of people, and he concluded that Jesus Christ was real, that he was the heaven-sent Savior of the world, and that 50 years of age, by faith, he received Christ as his own and personal Savior. Lew Wallace wrote the book that then became a film, Ben-Hur. He wanted everyone to know that Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God, the Savior of sinners. So did Peter. Peter, in his great confession in John chapter 6 and verse 69, he said, "We believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God." The Lord Jesus is the door. By me, he has said in verse 9, "If any man or woman, boy or girl, enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pastures." There are not many doors to the kingdom of heaven. There is but one. One door and only one. And yet its sides are two. I'm on the inside. On which side are you? Oh, you must come to Christ for pardon for sin. Only in his blood can you be washed from your sin and be justified from all things. And lastly, we think of the subject of the great shepherd. What is his heart set on? The sheep, of course. And in the ordinary human level, the shepherd and his sheep, there's a powerful bond between the two. And how needy the sheep are. They are wayward, always wayward. And in 1 Peter chapter 2 and the verse 25, Peter could say to these believers scattered hither and thither by persecution, "Ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls." Oh, all of us have gone astray, gone far from God in the paths of sin. And it's only the blood of the good shepherd that can bring you nigh. Writing to the believers at Ephesus, In Ephesians 2 and verse 13, Paul can say, "But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ." Is this where you are tonight? Nigh by the blood of Christ? If not, you can be brought to this place where you are at one with God through the Savior, the only Redeemer. They are wayward. The sheep are weak. They are susceptible to all kinds of ailments and diseases. They cannot provide for themselves. They are dependent, so dependent on the Shepherd. The one whom we preach tonight, he can meet you at the very point of your need. John saw him in chapter 1 and verse 14. He said, "We beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." We are saved by grace alone, but the Savior whom we preach is full of grace. And he has said in Isaiah 45 and verse 22, "Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else. The Lord is all that you need. You need none beside him." The sheep, they want a leader. In Israel, the sheep follow the shepherd. He goes before as their guide and their guard. This is the role of the good shepherd. He's spoken of in verse 4. "He putteth forth his own sheep. He goeth before them, and the sheep follow him." Oh, do not follow a false shepherd. Christ is the truth. He is the true God. He is the one who is bringing many sons to glory. A Highland shepherd in Scotland, he explained the gospel to a young lad from Psalm 23. And verse 1. And that lad used his thumb and the four fingers on his right hand. And he said, "The Lord is my shepherd." And then he held firmly the fourth finger. He received the Lord as his Savior. And this fourth finger indicating my shepherd, my Savior, was especially precious to him. The winter was so severe. Both the lad and the sheep were caught in a massive snowdrift. And when his lifeless body was dug out, his left hand was holding his fourth finger. That evidently was his final thought and his firm hope for the great eternity. "The Lord is my shepherd, my Savior." Oh, may that be true of you. The bride in the Song of Solomon, chapter 5 and verse 16, she could say of Christ, "This is my beloved, and this is my friend." Oh, do you have this personal acquaintance with the Son of God? If not, we urge you to repent of your sin and to come as you are. John 1 and verse 12 gives you these words, as many as received him, to them give he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Oh, you can have this great privilege, the right, through the gospel of Christ this evening, to become a child of God. Oh, do not leave the meeting without the Lord. Without him, you're lost. Without him, you're perishing. I trust that by saving faith, you will come into Christ, knowing him whom to know is life eternal. Let us bow together, please, in prayer. And as we're bowed in the presence of the Lord, if there is a needy soul in this gathering, we would long to meet with you and to open up the scriptures and to show you from the sacred page the way of salvation. Oh, do not harden your heart and presume on another occasion. Tonight is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. If we can be of help to you, just make your need known.